in the book of Genesis at the life of Joseph. And I shared with you some thoughts from the life of Joseph on what I called recovery from mistreatment, because every single human being has suffered some type of mistreatment or abuse in their life, or are or will suffer it. And there were six things that accounted for Joseph's recovery from mistreatment. By the way, I think that some have benefited from that. And I trust that you'll benefit from these thoughts this evening as well, because I have come to believe that of those six things, the one thing that I mentioned that is most difficult to surrender to God, which Joseph did and recovered as a result of it, is to forgive. To forgive the person that hurt you, because that's the last person you want to forgive. But you must forgive them. In the Lord's Prayer, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, please. We have recorded what some call the Lord's Prayer. And I want to share some thoughts with you. I'm sure you're familiar with it. There is a parallel passage to Matthew 6. It's Luke 11. I'm not going to turn there with you tonight. But in Luke 11, what prompted what is called the Lord's Prayer was a request by the 12, by the disciples. And they said, you know, Lord, John, he taught his disciples to pray. So, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he outlined a prayer for them. Beginning in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, Jesus says to them, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But I want you to note, Jesus, in the prayer that he outlined for his disciples, in the 12th verse, one request that he taught them to pray was, forgive us our debts or our sins as we forgive our debtors or those that sin against us. Two verses that follow verse 12 immediately, I think, still in the context of prayer, because the first two words of verse 14 say, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The first two words in verse 14, for if, indicate that Jesus is still talking about prayer. He hasn't changed the subject. He has more to say about forgiveness because he considers it the most important request that we should give the most attention to. Teaching about forgiveness, I believe, is one of the greatest needs in Christian lives. Because if anyone is guilty of unforgiveness, it's Christians. And so I want to share with you why we should forgive and then how we can forgive. Because as I've titled this message, you must and you can forgive. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you might undertake Thank you that you give Holy Spirit enablement to them that ask. So I'm trusting you for that. And I thank you that you give to live in us the blessed Holy Spirit of Pentecost. And I take his ability in all my inability. And I thank you, Holy Spirit of God, that you undertake for me. Now use this to accomplish your purpose in each listener's life. To the glory of Jesus, I would pray it. Amen. So let's answer that question. Why in your heart you have to let your abuser, you have to let that person that mistreated you off the hook. You have to set them free. Because if you don't, you'll not be free. The implication is if you don't totally forgive your abuser, you'll be in bondage. And it will be painful, of course, to be told that those who hurt you have to be let go for the hurt that they incurred in your life. But that's an absolute necessity. You must forgive. Let me give you some reasons why, as a believer, why you must forgive. For a moment, I want to jump over to the Gospel of Mark. And this chapter 11 in Mark and verses 22 to 25, you can turn there if you like, or I will read them. Matthew 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall receive them. And when you stand praying, forgive. For if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Why is it absolutely necessary that believers totally forgive those that mistreat them or hurt them? Number one, because if you don't, you'll never experience powerful praying. That's what Jesus is speaking about here. When Jesus spoke about supernatural answers to prayer based upon total dependence on God, he says, have faith in God. Literally, have the faith of God. It's a supernatural level of faith. And Jesus concludes that by addressing forgiveness in that 25th verse. What Jesus points out is you will never have mountain-moving prayers of faith unless you totally forgive every single person who has sinned against you. A 40-day fast won't give you powerful answers to prayer. Reading your Bible the whole way through won't give you powerful answers to prayer. If you are ever going to have God's faith that moves mountains in powerful praying, you must first forgive people as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what Ephesians 4:32 tells us. Let me give you a second reason. Why, as a believer, you must totally forgive people that have hurt you. Not only because without it, there'll be no powerful praying in your life, but secondly, look at verse 14, going back to where we were in Matthew 6. He says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. What that amounts to is if you are unwilling to forgive anyone who has hurt you, who has mistreated you, you will not enjoy any personal intimacy with God. You will not have personal fellowship with the Lord. That's the essence of that verse, that you cannot enjoy intimacy with God here below unless you totally forgive anyone that has hurt you. You can here and now in this life experience God's immediate, God's direct and conscious presence in your life. But total forgiveness, which will rid you of poison bitterness, is the only thing that will open the door to a personal knowledge of God so that he's real to you, so that he is as real to you as the air that you are now breathing, so that God is as real to you as the trees that you see outside that are turning colors in this time of year. Fellowship makes Jesus as real as if he were here before your very eyes. And total forgiveness is what brings Jesus near to you. And bitterness and an unwillingness to forgive is what keeps Jesus away from you and out of fellowship with you. If you want to sense God's presence in your life, you must totally forgive. Here's a third thing that I believe is also only open and available to those that are willing to forgive. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, and in verses 30 to 32, we read these words. 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. See that in the Bible? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you don't totally forgive, you as a believer will never live a spiritually fruitful life. The Holy Spirit of God is the one that produces spiritual fruit in your life that will make your life fruitful. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, remember, the fruit of the Spirit is, and he lists 9 of them. You want a fruitful life as a believer? The Holy Spirit is depicted in the Bible as a dove, and that's significant. You remember when Jesus went to the Jordan River and he was baptized by John the Baptizer in that river. And when he came up out of the water, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove landed on Jesus's head. And it pictured the Holy Spirit anointing Jesus for his ministry that he was about to begin. And the Holy Spirit as a dove came and landed and remained on Jesus. But according to Ephesians 4 and verse 30, we as believers can grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit by bitterness, is what he talks about in verse 31, or unforgiveness is what he talks about in verse 32. When we grieve the Holy Spirit through our bitterness and our unforgiveness, the Holy Spirit, because he is as a sensitive, gentle dove, he will lift his anointing from our life and fly away. And I don't mean that you lose the Holy Spirit, but you lose touch. You lose his anointing in your life. And so it is total forgiveness that attracts the dove, so to speak. It's total forgiveness that causes the Holy Spirit's anointing to rest on you, but bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart will chase away the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you won't live a fruitful life. Why is it important for believers to totally forgive people that have abused them, that have mistreated them, that have hurt them? Number one, because without forgiveness, you cannot powerfully pray. Without forgiveness, you can't have personal intimacy with Jesus. Without total forgiveness, you can't live a fruitful life. And the fourth and final thing I would share with you is found in Luke chapter 11, which I said at the beginning is really a parallel passage to Matthew chapter 6. Because this is where Jesus gives, again, the Lord's Prayer. And he continues to talk about prayer in the first 13 verses of Luke 11. For example, he gives an illustration of prayer about someone that would come to a friend in the middle of the night for bread, and his friend would not meet that need. But if he kept on knocking and he kept on bugging, his friend would eventually give him what he needed. And he said, well, that's how you need to approach God in prayer. Be persistent. Don't give up. And then he follows that up by saying, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And then he uses this illustration about prayer. He said, if a child asks his father for a piece of bread, will you think his father, decent father, is going to give him a stone? No, he's going to give him bread. Or if he asks for a piece of fish, you think his father is going to give him a snake? No, wouldn't give him that. Or if he asks for an egg, is his father going to give him a scorpion? Of course not. So then he says this, if you then, being evil, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And what he's talking about here is the Holy Spirit's fullness, or the Holy Spirit's power, or the Holy Spirit's enablement for serving him. And so I would say, unless you totally forgive, you will not be able to be a useful servant of the Lord. You'll not be useful in Lord's service. In the very context of prayer, Jesus instructs his followers to pray that prayer that forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors in verse 4 of this chapter, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And then he ends it with that 13th verse in that instruction about prayer, to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit's enablement to serve the Lord. Because you can't serve the Lord by depending upon your human strength or your human ability. Because the Bible says without Jesus, you can do nothing. Because the Bible says that depending upon yourself, your ability, your strength is profitless. The flesh profits nothing. And so it's impossible to expect the Lord to even hear your prayer, much less give you the Holy Spirit's enablement without you first forgiving everyone who has sinned against you, as verse 4 says. So that's why believers need to totally forgive. And I'm sure that that's not all the reasons, but I think that's enough to get you thinking. And that's enough to say, wow, I really need to get serious about forgiving that person or people who have abused me, who have hurt me, who have mistreated me. But how do I do that? You know what? It's not very complicated at all to forgive. And it begins with a choice. And I would say, first of all, how do you forgive a person that has hurt you? Number one, you choose. You choose. To forgive is a simple act of your will. It is a choice that you as an individual make. You must personally choose to not hold a grudge in your heart against that person or against those people any longer. You must make the choice. And don't wait until you feel led to forgive, because you won't. Don't wait. Don't hold a grudge, because you'll always feel that you're justified in having a grudge against them. you'll feel it's the natural and the right thing to do. The only time that you will feel led to forgive is when God stops you in your tracks and God speaks to you and you do it in obedience to Him. You have to make a choice. Right now, this very moment, ask God to forgive your unforgiving attitude, your unforgiving spirit. Ask God right now to make you willing to forgive the person who hurts you. Do that right now. Because you have to choose. How do you do it? How do you forgive? You choose. Secondly, you rely. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 2 says that we as believers are to be always looking unto Jesus. To look unto Jesus is to be depending upon Him. It's to be trusting in Him. To look to Jesus is not to depend upon myself, but to depend upon Him. That's why I chose the word rely. You are to rely on, you are to rest on, you are to lean on, you are to depend totally on Christ, who is in you, if you're a believer. He's in you. So you're to totally depend upon Him. You're to trust in Him to completely enable you to forgive. Because truth is, in yourself, you can't forgive. Because if you are able, you would have done it by now. In yourself, you can't forgive, but Jesus can. And because He's in you, He can enable you to forgive. I can do all things through Christ, who gives me the strength, who gives me the ability, Philippians 4:13 says. You can always forgive if you'll ask God to give you the forgiving heart that you need toward the one who hurt you. How do I forgive? Number one, you choose. Number two, you rely. And number three, you forgive when you bless. You are to bless the person that hurts you. You're not simply to commit that person to God. That's a cop-out. But you're to ask God to bless them. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 21 that we are not to be overcome by evil, but we are to overcome evil with good. And overcoming the evil of that person that hurts you by relying on Jesus to help you to do them good. There are many things that God can show you and help you to do good to the person that hurts you. But you can begin blessing that person by praying for them. And don't pray for God to judge them, but pray for God to bless them. Pray for their salvation and their family's salvation. Pray for their needs. And if possible, share the gospel with them and meet their need yourself. In Luke chapter 6. I'm going to turn there myself and just read this to you. Luke chapter 6 and beginning in verse 27. I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. This is what he says. This is what God wants us to do. Verse 35. Love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. You get it? Bless them. I'm going to close by leading you in prayer. And I recommend that you pray from your heart with me in relationship to that person or to those people who hurt you, if you truly desire personal intimacy with the Lord that results in powerful praying and fruitful living and useful service. So are you ready? Let's bow our heads. A moment ago, I asked you to ask the Lord to give you a forgiving heart. And if you did that, then you can sincerely pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I need you and I want you. And I'm sorry for my bitterness and my unforgiveness. And I want to thank you for your patience with me. And I'm relying on your blood to cleanse me. And I welcome your Holy Spirit to fill me. I totally forgive them. I completely let them off the hook. And I won't tell what they did. I won't let them be afraid of me or make them feel guilty. I accept that I'll have to do this again and again. This is a life sentence. But I set them free, and I bless them now for your sake. Amen.